You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All Peyton Davis all the time. On her 23rd birthday, Mike Musselman joins us.
Yeah, it's Peyton's birthday.
Yeah, all day today, man.
Yeah, well, yeah. Hey, I got a question for you.
All right.
You know how you have your phone and it like has pop-ups that like shows you at the top like a news article or something, right?
No, I don't have that.
Oh.
Well, yeah, I do. Associated Press, I have that app, and a news they will like if there's like a news flash, I'll bomb that in. Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know how New York Times got on mine.
Oh shit.
Don't know how it happened, man, because I do not. That is one.
You look. They can't install it. You must have.
No, I think there's something here. But so I'm reading this article.
Yes.
It comes up, and here's what catches me. It says, "Why Sweden is a feminist country?"
You got like and a Swedish, like, your Swedish submarines.
Sweden, I know. Isn't that
like
weird?
All Sweden all the time. What the hell?
Yeah. So I read it, and I'm like trying not to, trying to look at it and go, is this serious? Is this satire? What am I reading? So it goes on and talks about how they passed this policy. There's a female prime minister, and how Sweden is like leading edge on gender revolution. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, and it's all these people talking about why, oh, it's like healthcare, you know, like people, oh, you know, Canada's got great healthcare. Hey, go to Canada. No one's stopping you. Move to Canada.
No, we want their system here.
Yeah. So, you know, as the Canadians will tell you, all the Canadians that can afford it, what do? They go to America for healthcare.
Because they can buy what they want.
They can buy what they want.
Exactly.
And live longer.
They don't have to play that bullshit rationing game. Look,
right. Hey, I'm all about Logan's Run. You remember that movie?
No. Do you want VA healthcare? Go to Canada. You can have it too.
Yeah, you can have it all you want.
We're happy to share it with
you.
I
want Logan's Run.
What is that?
Logan's Run. It's like a 1960s sci-fi movie.
No wonder I didn't see it.
Yeah, it's crazy. And what the whole premise is it's after like the apocalypse and they have to live underground.
Here we go.
And yeah, it's crazy. But one of the things I like about it is at the age of 30, you have to die. So the population is controlled. So at your 30th birthday, you go to the celebration where they shoot you up in the air and they shoot you with like, it's like trap and skeet. But in the future, you know, lasers and stuff.
What happens and when they shoot you? How do they kill you?
The laser hits you, and you're like, and you like vaporize.
Oh, really? Is it a party?
It's a painless death. I mean, for that 1 or 2 seconds as you're vaporizing. But after that, I mean, shit.
All right.
1 or 2 seconds, right?
Yeah,
what's
you're,
that?
You're done. Yeah.
Right, you're done.
Yeah.
So quit complaining to me. So this whole... Yeah, so that's what it's built on, Logan's Run. And so Logan, he's like this police that enforces this rule, and they all have this like crystal in his hand. When the crystal turns a different color, it means that your time's running out. So Logan's crystal turns, and so Logan runs. So thus the Logan's Run. He runs away. He, you know, gets to salvation or whatever it's called. I forget what it's called. There's like a name, Sanctuary or something like that.
Oh, there's a sanctuary?
Yeah, it's Sanctuary. Whoa. So they all run. And they get to Sanctuary, and they live outdoors. And they realize that Earth has healed itself, which it does.
Shit.
It's a living world, right? It's a living place.
Right.
It just didn't need humans on it
after
anymore.
After the apocalypse, it was cleansed.
Yeah, because the Earth, Earth doesn't need the leeches and the... You know, it's like, imagine you having ticks and leeches and...
What?
And parasites all over your body. What are you going to do? You're going to fight to get rid of them, right? You're not going to live with, oh, these guys need blood and need a place to live. Go ahead, little guys.
I'm going to be homeless.
Right. No, you're going to fight to get rid of them.
Right.
That's Earth. Earth's trying to get rid of us.
Finding to
Quit
get rid of us?
Quit existing, people of Earth. Quit resisting Mother Nature. Allow
okay,
it to happen.
All right, so now take this back to Sweden again. We started with
okay,
Sweden.
Okay, so Sweden. Yeah, Sweden. That got off track a little bit. So Sweden is this feminist country that
yes.
talks about how great everything in there. But, you know, so you look at everything, it's like, wait a second. First of all, Sweden, whoa, calm down. Your population is less than Los Angeles County. Okay? So you can play these crazy, ridiculous games. You're only talking about 9.9 million people. Okay? And let's don't talk about lack of housing, lack of this, lack of that, high taxes. Don't brush all the negative shit under. Yeah, you guys got a good feminist policy that allows women to be equal in the work world, you know? And, you know, that's what this is this whole feminist drive, like why Sweden is the best place for a feminist to live.
Yeah, well, guys, I mean, there is something to be said. I mean, if we were, let's pretend you're a woman. Okay.
Oh God. All right.
Okay.
I would not be the poster child of feminist. That's for sure.
What would you? What kind of woman would you be?
I would be like. What was her name? The blonde, girl that married like the Texas billionaire. What was her name?
Anna,
she was like a model for Getchings.
Anna Nicole Smith. I'd see it.
I would be Anna Nicole Smith, but worse.
No, you wouldn't.
I would,
you
like I
you
said,
don't. No, you wouldn't. You couldn't be like that. You couldn't.
Yeah.
That, you cannot be
you
like that.
We talked about this. It'd be like money. What is this thing you call a money? You have
know.
To pay for this. Like, I give you what this thing called money. I mean, this stuff's always been bought for me. I just say it. I wish I had some purses. Boom, purses. I wish I had some shoes. Boom. A truck with shoes come, you know, to my door.
Okay, I know you're being facetious with that. So, but if you were truly a woman, you wouldn't be able to live like that. You would, because you have too much going on inside your head. You'd have to express yourself. So, how would you do that,
dude? I would.
You would? Would you move to Sweden?
I would be like that, but I'd have like my own art studio, and I express myself through art.
Oh, really?
And I wouldn't be any good at it. I just throw paint at canvas.
You wouldn't like get involved, I mean, because you're relatively involved.
Shit,
no.
I wouldn't care
politics.
About anybody else. In the world.
I see. I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
I would be.
No, you're not being serious. You're not taking the example seriously.
Yeah, I am.
No. Because so if you're a woman, for instance, if you and I were living in, pick one, Nicaragua, Honduras, Guatemala.
Ooh.
Right? How fast would our asses be in the United States?
Dude, I would. Yeah, I'd be. I'd be over that wall like
yeah,
you would. No,
I'd be
business.
I'd be like, yeah, I'd be. Yeah, you mean
Esmeralda, why are you practicing pole vaulting? nothing, Mom. I just want to be a champion Guatemalan pole vault.
Yeah. So, I mean, so if we're women, would we want to go someplace where, you know, like Sweden, that would appreciate us and give us a fair shake? Or would we want to hang out in the United States with all these chauvinistic assholes who don't want to pay us equal wages for equal work and do that whole dance?
Or, yeah, I'd be that, too, and then I'd be that crazy person on the picket line.
Yeah. I'd be straight up in your face.
Yeah, maybe if the opportunity came, I would do the Anna Cole life, too. And I'd never look back.
I think it's too empty of a life. I think it's too empty of a life. Okay. You would be too restless. You would not be able to do that.
I haven't lived an empty life, so I don't know what that's like, and I'd give it a try.
No, I don't. You couldn't do it. It's impossible for you to do an empty life. I see facetiously because I would say the same thing, but I don't think in real life that you could do that. So the question is: so what happens to? Let's talk about toxic masculinity and how it affects us. How does toxic masculinity affect you?
Oh yeah.
Because you live in the epicenter of toxic masculinity.
I do?
Yes.
How does that?
Well, I mean, your whole life has been about toxic masculinity, yes?
No.
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 I don't like the. I'm not a. I don't live in the world of toxic masculinity. That's to me. That's like a. So if you're talking about like an alpha male, you know, that type of thing, I don't like that word, because the reason I don't like it is it implies that you're anger, you know, it's emotional anger, you know, you're just not together.
That's what that implies to you.
Yeah, I'm not toxic masculinity. Now, I'm a masculine person. But I have my moments. I'm an emotional person.
You have your feminine side?
Well, see, now we're doing what we shouldn't be doing.
Then. What? What do you mean?
Our feminine side. There shouldn't be no clear. Just, I have my emotional side. My caring side. All women aren't emotional caring. I know some really tough ones.
Interesting. So you're saying that women
are. Well, when we say, oh, you're showing your female side or something, then we're downgrading women.
No, we're not. We're just identifying that you're in touch with your feelings, and we're ascribing that to a gender.
And we're saying that women have more feelings than men.
Right, which is in itself chauvinistic, yes?
Yeah.
That's toxic.
I'm not chauvinistic.
Let me give you an example. Let me give you a real-world toxic masculinity that's part of our culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we talked about this before, but I thought about this the other day, and it's funny this is coming up. Grandpa didn't talk about World War II. Uncle Larry didn't talk about Vietnam. So I'm not talking about my experiences. And that's how you do it. That's how you do it. That's toxic. I don't know if it's masculinity. It's toxic something. And that's it's like, okay.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
It's also what was expected.
Right. But I mean,
you know, social.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I see.
So
but I don't think that's toxic, no.
Well, it certainly isn't healthy, so I don't know what you'd call it. It may not be toxic. It might be sickening, or it might be, I don't know what else you'd call it. But, but again, you know, okay, well, now I've gone and I've had these experiences, but I'm not supposed to talk about them because that's what guys who are full-up round guys, they don't talk about it. So it's I mean, and that's the lore that is right that gets handed to us as guys who are part of a warrior tribe, and so it's interesting, right, that you come away with that. And so there's an example of toxic behavior by men. It's not really advocated by men either, because nobody ever talks to you about it. Hey, don't talk about it. You just hear about it, and you're just like, oh, okay. I guess I'm supposed to. If I'm going to be a full up round dude, man, I got to handle my business, and I'm not going to go there with you. I'm just going to make both of us miserable. I'm just going to make both of us miserable. It's when I think about it, I probably shouldn't laugh, but it makes me laugh because it's like stupid shit. You're going to go through this incredible experience, but you're not going to talk about it. Okay. Well done. Whose idea was that? Yeah. Anyway. All right.
Yeah.
Here's an email. Mac, can we open it up for suggestions about other stupid masculine ideas? So, do we want to start man bashing on a Friday?
No, we don't deserve to be bashed.
we're humans too.
Accept us. I'm human.
Right. Right.
Right.
Don't ridicule us. We're people too. We have our issues. Look, it's not like we invented that shit. Right? We didn't invent that. It was given to us and we weren't smart enough to figure it out. But we are now. I mean, come on, you're talking to guys who go out and talk about it. So yeah, don't tread on me, man. That ain't me. Yeah. Boom, take that.
Yeah, that's that whole, when did that, this, you know, it's funny you talk about that, because I remember that whole Gillette commercial.
What, Bill Gillette? Bill Gillette made a commercial?
No, the Gillette commercial on toxic masculinity.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't?
No. I don't, you know what, look, I don't watch that much TV, honestly. I watch, the only thing I watch are, I watch sports and I watch some documentaries. That's what I watch.
Yeah, you gotta watch, it's like the Gillette, Gillette, like Gillette razors. Gillette.
Not like Bill Gillette.
Toxic mix. No, the Gillette masculinity commercial. I don't think it's out anymore.
Is your shaving your face?
It's kind of stupid. And, you know, it's like, I think they did pull it, though, so it's not out there anymore. But, you know, when men are categorized as the harasser, the assaulter, the bully, the rapist, and, you know, all of that stuff, it's like, you know, that's what kind of angers me. But because, again, we go through this whole, you know how you get away from this is you stop talking about it. Quit talking about the divide that's there.
Well, how are we going to ever address the issue if we don't talk about it?
Well, because I don't know if that's the answer, but obviously we've been talking about it for quite some time and we're not getting any better. It's actually getting worse. So maybe not talking about it. Let's try something else now. We're in troubleshooting. We've been talking about it, making it the epicenter of every discussion that we do, and all it's doing is creating a bigger divide. So let's try not talking about it and just kind of living our lives and see how that experiment goes.
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. Right.
Maybe. I don't know. We're on to something.
Now we're going to pretend it's not
there.
It's
like there. I told you and I had a discussion. You know how the Marine Corps could have got it right? When it came to promotions, never put the picture up there or use the name.
Ooh.
Just talk on the merits alone, right? And then you select who that individual is. You never hear a name.
Could you imagine
never
that?
Never hear a yeah, no
there
picture
be,
up there.
There could be no
you select on merit alone. No, holy shit, dude.
No favoritism.
Talk about fairness, right? And equality.
Yeah. I just know. I won't
tell you. As soon as that picture's up there, boom, automatic bias and prejudice.
Exactly.
Automatic.
Somebody just got promoted in the Marine Corps. I won't tell you what rank or whatever. But it raised a bunch of eyebrows among people I know. It's like, who made that happen?
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
And somebody reached down and grabbed somebody. And if Mike's right. If you did it's a blind board, right? You have body mass index, so you know how fat the person is, right?
Right.
And you,
everything that doesn't identify him with name,
right,
or any kind of like you couldn't identify
what unit.
Addresses or
right.
You know
what,
shit
what,
like that.
What unit, right? All you get is performance.
Then right. You get is merit.
Then
merit
you,
performance.
Then you would have the true meritocracy.
Oh, what? Bam!
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Yeah, it would be awesome until the first board they had and they'd. When everybody opens their eyes and all of the cool guys aren't cool anymore.
What? How could
yeah.
that? How could that happen? Here's an email.
Yep.
Hey Mac, Gunner's from Minnesota. How many people were at the school that he went to? I was talking about. I said Peyton Davis should record the national anthem so I could play it on the program in the morning. And I went to a thing in 2006. I'd got back from Fallujah late in the year, and I went to up at Warren Alvarado Oslo K-12 school, their Veterans Day program, and I was the guest speaker. And these two girls stand up in a town that all three towns might total like 2,500 people, right? So they have a combined school. And mm-hmm. and combined, like, their eight-man football team is a combined, like, two dudes from each school. So, anyway, something like that. So, these two girls stand up, and they sing the national anthem a cappella, and they annihilate it. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? So I recorded it afterwards. I stood up when I went to speak, and I said, where are the two girls that just sang the national anthem? And they're like, everybody points to them, and they're like, here. I said, would you guys hang around and could I record that and use it on my radio show? They were like, yes. But it was the coolest thing. K-12, I'd never been to a school like that in outstate Minnesota. So the email asked how big – Mike lived outside the Twin Cities, but I don't know what was it when you were – was it still a small school or was it –
It was really small. So my teacher was Miss Beadle. And we went to Walnut Grove High School, and I dated Laura Ingalls. And
nice.
Yeah, and so I think we had probably, I don't know, can you go into 12th grade? I think we had like 12 people in the whole school.
No, he went to big school.
So you know who Miss Beadle is?
No. I know who Laura
Ingalls is. Miss
Beadle is
the school teacher from Little House on the Prairie.
I know Walnut Creek is up by Sacramento. That's, you turned your antenna north towards Walnut Creek or something like that.
Well, there's a Walnut Creek in Minnesota, too. Oh, that's where Little House on the Prairie took place.
Oh, I didn't know that.
With the Ingalls family. That's what I said my girlfriend was Laura Ingalls.
I got that part.
I was about just a little bit more than 200. We were a big class. I mean, the class before us was like 100. A couple before that was like didn't even top out at 100. And we had moved. We were the first class to actually go through ninth grade through our senior year in the new high school because we were all in one.
How about that?
Yeah, it was all like the middle school, the elementary school, and high school were all like. There in the same little area, and then we decided to get big. Yeah. And it was the middle school looked like a crematorium.
What?
I mean, it was scary looking. It had huge brick smokestacks that went up, like four of them. And so we.
Oops! Did you hear that? Little...
Yeah, I know. I just unplugged. Right. You drive into school, you see these big smokestacks, and if it was like a dreary winter day, or like, and the smokestacks would have these big steam columns because they're still using steam for electricity or what, I don't know what the hell they're. But we were always like fearful, like, oh god, don't ever let us go down to the boiler room. Bad kids are going to go to the boiler room.
The boiler room. No, please.
And it was like a Freddy Krueger school growing up. I mean, we had a basement, and you never went down there.
That's awesome.
And there was like boilers down there. And
I love those old schools. Up. Right? You expect to see like Marty McFly walking out of it any second.
But dude, this was a scary school. It was up on a hill, brown brick, big smokestacks. And it didn't look like a school. Didn't look like a school. But it's scary.
Yeah, see, Mike, in outstate Minnesota, you get these, like, little farms. They're combined, and as the farm population
has
dwindled, they've combined schools. And but it's funny, I remember going up to do a football game for this school, Warren Alvarado Oslo, they were the Ponies. And they used to beat the shit out of everybody in 8-man football. And so you'd go, and there's like a small set of bleachers, and there's a little press box, and you're in there, you're freezing your ass off doing a football game in the fall in Minnesota, and you have everybody shows up, and they turn their they circle the football field with their pickup trucks. Mm-hmm. And they sit in. And
oh
they,
yeah.
And Grandma and Grandpa sit in the pickup truck and they watch it. And then when they score, right, all the headlights flash, the horns honk. You know, people have special horns and they blow them. You're looking around. But it's like cool small town America shit. And it was awesome. And then they go to like Minnesota State, you know, football 8-man football championships, and they play down in the Metrodome. Awesome. Awesome. So you'd have like all these small towns down there playing football, and it's very cool. Again, cool small town America things, right? And there's nobody. I mean, you could roll into the town and rob every house in town because everybody's down in the Twin Cities watching the football team. So
yeah, our that school I'm talking about was built in 1924. Actually, 1924. Now. They remodeled it completely, and it's the administration building.
Wow, but it's still...
So it doesn't look like anything like it. Like I remember growing, I mean, it was scary looking. I didn't, it was like, and then the halls were like really, you know, so you walk down, and they're like 40 feet tall. You know, like all the way up. Like the hallways. it was like, it didn't seem like school. It seemed like it was punishment. Oh, like we were being punished.
My kids went to a Marty McFly school, Grand Forks Central. And it was the high school, Grand Forks, right in North Dakota. But it was a stop on the what was it? The Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railway, which is up there, and the railroad was built by the Irish. So Grand Forks, the church is St. Michael's, and up on the altar is St. Patrick. It's like, that's not like normally this is all Lutheran, right, Scandinavian country, and then you had this little Irish thing, and then the high school though it was I thought it was cool. I thought it was like something out of Back to the Future, and my kids would go. It's unlike a sprawling kind of high school that you'd see in California, you know, a big huge central building with a gymnasium hooked onto it in the middle of downtown. So I for whatever reason I thought it was cool. The another email. Any comments about Paul Manafort's sentence? Wasn't very big.
Crazy,
for,
huh?
Yeah. I'd say not a lot of juice for all that squeezing. I'm not a legal expert, although I do play one on the radio. But that's a lot of squeezing for that juice. That's all you got?
I mean, that's kind of okay. Like a death sentence for him, too, almost.
Well, he's like, I guess he's in a wheelchair, failing health, yeah, and all that.
And you know, this is that whole. I mean, if the government crawled up your ass with a microscope, they could find you. Everybody could go to prison for 47 months.
Trust me. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and they get him for what, tax stuff?
But it was all of it was to get him to turn on the president. That's the whole reason this case exists. So. I don't know. It's like the news. It's like stay away from the news. Stay away from the news. Stay away from the news.
Yeah. Now there's like this picture like shows Trump at the party, like a Super Bowl party, and there's like the madam that ran this brothel that Kraft got busted at is in this picture, and now they're like, look, Trump, and you know, it's like when it first came out, Trump is evil. You know why? Guess who else drinks water? You know? And they'd show like Adolf Hitler drinking a glass of water and then Trump drinking. Look, the comparisons.
They showed the other day that Trump contributed to Kamala Harris's senatorial campaign in California.
But that doesn't.
What's going on? What's going on? I don't know. It's just no. I would tell you. I. It's pretty depressing. Pretty depressing. So I don't. You know. Again, Mike and I.
Trump bought a suit from a sweatshop in South Pacific, in Asia.
Yeah. Make no mistake, though. Trump is a product of our political system, just like Hillary Clinton was. And the system that gives you those two as a choice is a sick system. If that's as good as our country has to offer, then you're screwed. And we are screwed, right? So accept that. And then you have a media that covers it that doesn't care about the truth. So
no,
there you have it.
Or because the media is searching for these non-truths on the computers that are made by the same sweatshops, you know, that Apple turns out from, you know. So, I mean, come on.
So, yeah. So, I think it's interesting that most of my friends don't consume too much news anymore.
And I never did. I don't know. I can't do anything about it. So the garage. Everybody needs to know that, Mac, you are responsible for
your
the craziness that's going on here.
You're welcome, by the way.
Yeah. One day I will thank you, but not right now. So I tear out the whole – everything's torn out. All the benches, all the shelves, gone. And that's where I was at this morning, at the dump, cleaning out my – I mean, I filled my whole pickup bed with wood and pieces. So that's all gone. Everything's cleaned up. So as I'm looking at the wall, I'm like, shoot, there's like little holes everywhere. So I patch all those holes. And now I got like this – patches everywhere. So I sand that. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to repaint the whole garage, damn it. So we pick out the paint. We went with some kind of called Solvent Sage. It's this craziest shit they come out with colors now.
We did another goofy color?
No, this looks really good with the the what's it called? It's right here. Salty Dog Blue.
Shit.
It looks really good together.
The name of the sage? Velvet?
Selvet.
Selvet Sage.
S-V-E-L-T-E, sage.
Oh, remind me to ask you about sugar. Okay?
I don't use sugar.
We need to talk about that.
So Selvet Sage, that's going to be the background. And that's where we're at. So I'm spray. As soon as I get done with you, everything's taped off. Everything's been sanded. I put it in the air sprayer and go to town.
Wow. You can thank me later. You can thank me later.
Yeah, like I said, one day.
When it's all done, it all starts from a picture that Mike sent me from his garage.
I got to get the cannolis.
One of the things I love to do is, like, people will send you a picture of something, right? And then you scrutinize what's in the background of the picture. Hey, when did you start dipping this? Why are those scissors adrift? What's going on?
That's not always true. People don't always do that.
No, I like to, though.
I actually used to have fun with that. Like, if I take a picture and, like, it was in my garage, there were times where I would do a chalk outline of a body on the back and way in the distance. I would just take, you know, like the sidewalk chalk my daughter had when she was growing up. I'd just do like a quick rude outline and then take a picture or something and have that in the background. And I don't think I have ever had anybody go, oh, dude, what's up with the chalk outline? And that's kind of scary too, because then they're like, oh, that's Gunner. He's probably, you know, accept that stuff.
Right. Well, of course there'd be a body laying in the driveway. Hello? Yeah. But I think they know you. They know that, like, he wants me to say something. So I'm not going to give him the satisfaction of doing that. The chef got a question about sugar substitute from somebody who's trying to lose weight. Sugar is the death of me. Could you give me any suggestions for not losing taste, but eating sugar, or what do you do?
I use agave nectar.
He said a product called stevia.
It is. Oh, God. Yeah.
He said he cooks with it, and he said, I would recommend that to you. So what do you use?
I use agave nectar.
Agave nectar.
Yeah. Or agave syrup. It's a sweetener. Made from agave plants, so.
And does it come in granular form, or how do you use it? Do you use it when you
bake?
No,
it's a liquid. It's a syrup.
Oh, it's a liquid.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So I'm looking at it right now. It's got in a 100-gram amount of agave nectar supplies 310 calories. Moderate source of vitamin C, several vitamin Bs, 76% carbohydrates, 23% water, 0.4% fat, and a little bit of protein. I've started using, like, the agave nectar.
So do you use that when you bake?
Yeah.
How do you find the conversion? Have you just kind of...
No, I never measured anything in my life.
You just hand jam it?
Taste. No, I taste. Add taste.
But what if you're baking?
Taste. I'm trying to think. I haven't baked a cake, like, forever. But I've done it. I've added it in, like, other recipes, and it came out really good. Like cheesecake. I made a cheesecake not too long ago. But I'm trying to think, did I use a conversion? I may have, like, ounces, because I have a scale, and maybe, I think it was ounces or something like that, and I just hit zero on the scale, filled up the little thing, and until it was, like, you know, whatever, 25 ounces, and then it went.
Hmm.
Yeah, baking for me has never been a science. It's always kind of like, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I know what the recipe says, but I'm just going to kind of wing it. It's a guideline.
That's an interesting. It's a place that we depart from.
Yeah. It gives me my basic fundamental foundation to start, and then I go from there.
All right. No, that makes sense.
I use agave nectar like it's cool, and so everybody else now does too. Because
you're cool, and if you do it, then that means everybody does it. So,
well, no, everybody fights it at first, like, "Whoa, what's up with this agave nectar? Why do you got to?" And then they try it, and then now all of a sudden you see it in everything.
Then all the cool kids are doing it.
Yeah, they put it in their coffee. They put it in, you know, it's great in coffee. If you're a drink coffee with sugar in it, it dissolves instantly. You know, it's a liquid. If you need a quick shot, like you're dragging an ass, just go over to the cabinet, pick it up, squirt it in your mouth, and keep going.
Really? Just like your five-hour energy drink?
Well, no, nothing beats that. This ain't a five-hour energy drink. This will burn for, it'll burn like real bright for about 30. This is like throwing gas on a freaking barbecue fire. Not recommended, but it's effective.
Gas?
Yeah, like gasoline.
That's serious. All right.
You've never thrown gasoline in a fire?
Come on, man. Of course I have.
Yeah, of course you have.
Like, everybody does that. I mean, it's not really a good time until, right, somebody gets hurt.
Someone throws gas on a fire.
Until something. I was a pyromaniac.
The eyebrows singed. Whoa, dude. Yeah,
I was a pyromaniac as a kid. I loved firecrackers. I could never. I saw an M80 the first time in my life.
I'm surprised I still have all my fingers.
Yeah, I let me tell you, my first hearing injury was throwing firecrackers, and I didn't. My release time, you know, because when you bought firecrackers, that was a big deal back in the day, right? And I wasn't that guy like
who it.
Yeah, like somebody has a brick, right? Well, I'd get a pack of them, maybe, or I'd get I'd go
strip. Yeah, you get
exactly.
A strip.
And so you'd have one, and then the fuse would go out halfway, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna have to light it and then throw it fast. This one went off right next to my ear as I threw it. Right.
We used to have bottle rocket fights.
Those are fun.
You'd like be running around the neighborhood with a lighter, a handful of bottle rockets, strip one off, aim it at your buddy, and the whistlers, you'd put little rubber caps on them.
Come on.
You'd light it and aim it. Oh, you got me.
Nothing but a good time with that.
Oh, the best. And then when you're bored, in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, growing up as a kid, because we had a curfew, all kids had to be in at 10 p.m. No children on the streets after 10 p.m. So, like, at 10:25, we see Officer Joyce sitting in her car. And so we're like, shh, we'd sneak up, and we'd shoot a couple bottle rockets at her car and take off, man, because then that was the excitement for the night. Running through the neighborhood yards, getting chased by the cops.
I had a healthy respect for challenging law enforcement.
I did it because I wanted them to stay sharp.
You were already contributing? You were already contributing to their benefit? That's good.
This was, you know, to keep them on their toes, keep them aware. They were physically fit guys with us kids in the neighborhood.
But I thought you said it was just a woman. Joyce?
Joyce was one of them. Joyce was cool. Joyce was real cool, but there were a lot of them.
That's pretty crazy that you had a female police officer back in the day, eh?
Yeah, Joyce wasn't your typical girl though.
Yeah, but still, even then, I mean, what year are we talking about? Late 70s, early 80s?
Yeah, early 80s. Yeah, like early 80s.
That's still pretty. I mean, come on, that's like when we talk about Varnado Simpson. The Mili guy, and you know, his mom was an X-ray technician at the hospital. I mean, that was, in a segregated South. Are you kidding me? That's like big
that's
time.
Unheard of.
Yeah, so interesting.
Yeah, I was a little criminal, man. A little mischief maker.
I was always afraid.
Really?
I used to hang out with guys.
Pellet gun.
I used to hang out with guys like you, and I would always encourage them to do, come on, shoot it. But I would always have my gold stingray near me.
Fat pigeon off the telephone wire in San Diego in Chula Vista, and it landed in the neighborhood or in the yard behind us as they were having like a picnic on the outside with the family.
Yeah, you're stupid. You did not realize.
Scream.
You didn't know. That's dumb. That's dumb stuff. Yep. That's dumb guy stuff.
Cop came to the door. San Diego PD came to the door, and in a clear evidence bag had this bloody pigeon.
And you played stupid.
I played as stupid could get. Yes, officer, can I help you? Go get the gun that did this. Okay. So I go and get a cheap little one-pump 45 that you load the BB in the front. I mean, you shot your hand at point blank, it wouldn't even break skin. I mean, it was just a joke gun. So I bring him that, and he grabs it, looks at it, and he kind of gives me this look like, he says, how long do you think I've been doing this job? So I'm like,
pardon me, officer?
And he goes, now go get the gun that did this. So I went and got the gun.
You surrendered the firearm?
Dude, I thought they were going to, like, SWAT team. I'm a kid.
So they
didn't take the gun. They chewed my ass, threatened to put me in juvenile detention, whatever. And then, you know, it was like the typical thing. And that was it.
Wow.
Yeah. And then there was mischief, back to mischief again.
Yeah, you know, I spent a lot of time, like, you know, you came home from school. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. And so I wasn't hanging out, like, around my mom. And, like, when weather kept you in the house, I mean, I still, like, I would go in my room and read or play with G.I. Joes or build a model or something. Because, like, if you hung out with your mom, like, she'd, like, be in your shit. But if the weather was nice, as it was most of the time in California, you know, get on your bike and go grab your friends. And we had these fields near our houses, and they would, people would dump shit in them. Like, contractors would dump, like, concrete in them, and guys would dump dirt. So there's always all these mounds around there. And we would go build forts, and then we'd have, like, rock fights and then dirt clod fights and ride our bikes and create jumps. Right. And, you know, all the stuff that boys do. And then I remember building a raft to try to float down this creek, and it didn't work very well. We kind of overloaded it. And then it's like the middle of winter. But my mom was really cool. She never got pissed at me. I'd come home filthy, soaking wet and filthy. She'd look at me. She said, you know what to do. And I'd take my clothes off in the garage, throw it all in the washing machine. I knew how to, Mike and I are kind of similar. I mean, before I was like 10, I knew how to sew. I knew how to iron. I could make lunch. I was a pretty self-sufficient kid. And, so my mom was like, all right, go take a
shit. But the difference, I did a lot of that stuff, but we also did like the, you know, like every kid does. We would go under I-5 down in San Diego under Chula Vista in the flood channels, the little that would go underneath, you know, the aqueduct system. When we'd take our bikes down there, go looking for illegal Mexicans under the freeway.
Yeah, and then what would you do when you found them?
Run, because we were scared, and then they would run from us. But we were always looking for them. And then once we found them, we were like,
We would play in those.
If we played in the fields, though, at night, the Border Patrol would come after us.
Oh, really?
That was always a fun game to try and get away from the searchlights.
We would play in the irrigation system of the city. You know, so you had those fenced off creeks, and we'd kind of get through the fences.
That's the place to play as a kid, let me tell you.
Yeah, it'd go down there, and you'd find all kinds of shit down there. And then you'd find homeless people. Well, at the time, we called them bums that were living down there.
Yeah, bums.
And they scared the shit out of you.
They were homeless people, they were just bums.
Yeah, they were bums. Yeah, now they're homeless.
Hobos.
They're There's a story I was reading today about all the diseases, all the middle age diseases. And I don't mean middle age mean in midlife. I mean middle ages, typhus, mumps, all these diseases that are now getting activated in cities because of the homeless population. And again, when we say homeless now, if you lose your home because you lost your job and some bad stuff happened, there's all kinds of agencies that will help you. If you are living on the street, those are people that have serious mental health issues.
And bumps.
But you can't really say that. That's a secret. We're not supposed to say it, that they're crazy. They used to be institutionalized. And now you're seeing why they were institutionalized. Because if left to their own devices, they are drug addicts. They are carriers for diseases that haven't roamed the United States for a couple hundred years. And they're being unleashed in our inner cities. And most of them, it's disgusting. Most of these diseases are borne by fecal matter, right? And then the fecal matter, human fecal matter being around, the bacteria being around, food being ingested. Like, that. So, anyway, just to brighten your day, I thought I'd share that with you.
Oh, it's bright now. Yeah.
I thought I would share that with everybody. Was anything as ever fun as when somebody got like a wrist rocket, like BB guns, but somebody would go to the store and they would get one of those surgical tube wrist rockets with that had that stainless steel thing.
I had those.
Oh, that like went around
stainless
your
steel
wrist.
Ball bearings.
Oh yeah,
dude.
Oh, you had one of those.
Lots of fuck that. I had one of those a wrist rocket that, yeah, the black one. And then I had a wooden handle, and the aluminum bar came up over the wrist and kind of fastened down on top. And it was the real thick leather strap the pouch with the long surgical tube. I mean, I could outreach my whole hand, hold that thing to my cheek, look down the wall, pachow! And that thing with those ball bearings.
Who bought that for you?
I think one of the older kids in the neighborhood had like traded it for something. Thing was like
bequeathed it to you, and you had to run out of ball bearings within like 5 minutes. Pew 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 pew.
Was like carrying a gun with you. You know, as a kid, I'd have that thing, and it'd be like, and then a pocket full of ball bearings. So like no one messed with you.
Or marbles. After you got rid of the ball bearings, then you had.
No, I never shot marbles with it.
You didn't.
I just used like the ball bearings. They're like pea-sized ball bearings. They weren't real big. But they would zip like you'd know tomorrow, man. We used to shoot fish with them. So you'd throw bread at the top of the water and the carp would come up. You'd drill those guys, man. Right in the face.
See, this is the way boys used to grow up, man. You used to be outdoors, roaming around.
Turtles.
Right.
Turtles never stood a chance. We'd skip off. They'd go right through their shell. And then frogs, like the little leopard frogs. You know? Dude. Put a hole in them like, geez, like a frogs. Telephone pole going through a human.
Frogs, man, those poor bastards.
They were like the victim for everything. Frogs.
Frogs.
We used to throw frogs onto the freeway.
Oh.
Like overpass.
Why would you? So this
because we were kids.
Right. Right.
I mean, why?
All kinds
I don't
of
know.
Stupid shit.
Like the thing to do.
Right.
Like,
you'd see a
you
kid.
You got like three frogs with it, and you're walking across the free overpass, and you're like, hey.
Throw a frog over there. See, that would have been me. I would say that
it's
stuff.
It's not
like
it's going to go through the windshield.
And, you know, you always have stupid friends that will do that stuff. Because, see, I wouldn't do it because I was afraid to get caught. But
and it's just a frog.
Yeah, but I would had stupid friends that you'd tell them to do stuff, and they would do it. And you'd be like, and you'd run away laughing. Wow. And he'd be like, what? Come on, man. We're all going
to
get...
I never did, like, illegal shit to hurt people, no. Unless you were a frog, a turtle, or a carp, or a sucker fish. We used to go sucker fish fishing with bows and arrows. Dude, that was fun.
Yeah, my grandmother bought us bows and arrows, but they had rubber tips on it. She used to keep the metal tip ones under lock and key. right? And so because the bow and arrow came with like six arrows.
The fiberglass shaft arrows.
Yeah, three rubber tip and three metal tip. And she would confiscate the metal tip one.
I saw that fiberglass off, that tip, and then shave it down so it's a point. Back in business.
Weren't you supervised at all?
Yeah, by other kids my age.
Well, that's not really the recipe that we're looking
Mac,
for.
I used to run with guys. Okay, Milio, Memo, Ray Ray, Big Memo, Little Memo, Ray Ray, Big Fernando, Jorge. They were brothers. Irish. His wasn't Irish, but he was the only other white guy in the group, so everybody just called him Irish. I don't know his name.
My friends were on my street when I was a little kid were Jackie Baker was older than me, lived across the street. Matt and Mark Ensley lived down the street from me. And Matt was funny. Mark was kind of a dick. And then a guy around the corner, we called him Cuckoo. His name is Brian Underwood. Like, so you see him now, and you're like, hey, Cuckoo. He's like, man, nobody really called me that anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Like, what do you want?
Like, yeah, we still did.
What do you want me to call you, Brian? Like, well, yeah, that's what everybody calls me. Like, come on, man. I look at you and I see Cuckoo. Like, well, I'm not going to call you that. He starts laughing. He goes, dude, you can call me whatever you want me. I'm like, come on, man. We go back to like when we were like 8 years old, rolling around, like on your bike, like putting like playing cards in the spoke so it sound like a car. But I'll tell you what, though, if you saw a kid, like, so you're out just roaming around playing, doing your thing, like conducting normal combat operations, and then all of a sudden somebody either rolls up with a BB gun or a wrist rocket. Everything, like, stops. Like, dude's got a wrist rocket.
Yeah, I had both. I had a BB gun, I had a Daisy Red Rider, and a wrist rocket.
Wow. Yeah, Kathleen was not buying me a BB gun, so I had to go find BB guns to play with. And you have those things.
We used to have BB gun warrants. There's just a one pump, you know? You pump it once.
Yeah, there's nothing funnier than shooting somebody with a BB gun either.
Oh, it's freaking great.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious. I bought a BB gun in college, and I had it in my trunk. I'd shoot my friends. I remember one of my friends shot another one of my friends, and then he puts the BB gun down, and the other friend, like, thought it was hilarious, like, oh, you think that's funny? You think shooting people with BB guns funny? And then I shot him right in the ass. I shot him right in the ass. Oh, my God. He's still talking about this.
You become a good shot because you got it. You always lame. Right. It's below the waist. You'll never – I mean, that was like – even as kids, you never cross that line, man.
Unless it was an accident or you really hated a kid. Yeah.
Well, when I shot – I actually shot my paper boy, and he was older than me, though, but – he was a punk.
A friend of mine.
You know, when the police got involved, we were coming up with, this is when the early trajectory ballistics guy was coming up. You see, we were shooting a bucket of ice, like the old 1 gallon ice cream buckets. And we did have one in there, and we were shooting it. But I tried to explain to him that we shot it, it ricocheted off and went and hit him and knocked him off his bike. And again, the cop was like, okay, you're going to tell me you're standing here, the ice was right there, and the paper boy was down the driveway, across the road, another 300 yards that way. Yeah.
That's what I'm going with.
But it was one of those shots. It was like, you know, again, Greg and Mike Kimmel were sitting next to me, and they're like, hey, I don't think you could shoot him from there. I was like, shit, that's easy. Pop! Off the bike. Boom. Ow, somebody shot me. Oh, shit, close the garage.
We're in trouble. A friend of mine, Brian Delaney, I don't know, I think we had his BB gun. He had the BB gun, but we got it from him, right? And so a friend of mine, who would later go to jail for bank robbery, no shit. And so Brian, we get the BB gun, and Brian's hiding in the bushes. So my friend just fires in the bush, and where do you think it hits him? Right in the face.
Right in the face.
He's screaming, too. And it's like, oh, shit, we're all going to get in trouble now. And so I got on my bike. I knew I always had a fairly good knack for when to get the hell out of town. And it's like.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah. It's like, you got to come find me. Like,
I had a dark blue bike with a big thick, fat tire, you know, like the racing slick back tire with the fender, the sissy bar, and the banana seat.
Yeah.
And I had ape hangers. I had ape hangers on my bike.
What a weirdo, man. You're a rich kid.
Dude,
man.
That was cool.
I had
the shifter right there in the front, three-speed.
I had a one-speed. One-speed, my legs. And I had it was gold Stingray bike with a white banana seat. That was my bike growing up.
I had a white banana seat.
I got
a blue frame.
I got a 5-speed later on in my life, but with
I tried to make that into a chopper, but I wasn't good at welding, so it didn't work out.
Speaking of welding, I knew these two twins, man, and they were really funny, and they used to fight all the time. And I hung out with them for like a summer. And they the reason I did was kind of to exploit them because they had mini bikes. And so we'd be
I had a mini bike.
We'd be over in the field playing, and like the Phillips twins would come, Matt and Mike Phillips, and Mike was more of the athlete, Matt was kind of of a doofus, but he would play everything with us because that's what you know we did. And so I'm at their house once, and they're like they had welded. These forks onto a mini bike, and they're like, all right, let's test it out. And so Matt fires it up, right? Or Mike fires it up, and Matt hops on it, and they argued about who's going to drive it. Like, I want to drive it first. Like, I did all the work on it, because he was kind of like the dork of the two. And Mike finally says, fine, you know, get on it.
Yes.
And so Matt gets on it, takes off, and it's like we never wore helmets. Helmets were not even a consideration, right? And we rolled around in blue jeans and white t-shirts all the time, right? And Chuck Taylor's. So that was his uniform.
Yeah.
So he drives down the street. He turns around, and about halfway back to us, the weld on the front forks gives way.
Oh.
He goes. You can imagine, I don't know, he's probably going, I don't know, 15, 20 miles an hour on this mini bike. The fork snaps, and he goes right over the handlebars. And we're like, whoa, shit. And he is screaming bloody murder, right? His hands, his forearms are just skinned. He's screaming and crying. And, you know, we're like, what happened? And he goes running past us into the house. Right,
yeah.
His mom comes out. She's yelling. I'm like, "Hey, man, I gotta go."
Everyone's good. Yeah, time to go. People are yelling. I gotta go.
Yeah. That's
I took my mini bike. My mini bike got the throttle stuck, and I went through a white picket fence in the front yard. Oh man, that hurt so bad. Oh, you know, it's not like the movies where you crash through. You crash through, but you don't go through with the bike. The bike goes through. You get interrupted by the wood that's still there, and you end up, you know, oh, man, I think I broke a couple ribs. I mean, I was not.
And this is back in the day where when that shit happened, parents were not about coming out and seeing how you were first.
No, Dad got up and went over to the bike.
Yeah, and the fence. Like, what
it was a blue mini bike. You know, like, what happened? Why did you scrape the bike up?
I don't know, Dad, could you help me pull this plank of the fence out of my throat? Shut up!
Yeah.
I'll talk to you when we get
out. Well, no, then it's like the guilt, like, well, I don't know who's going to fix the fence. I got it, Dad. You got it. I'll take care of it. Oh! I can't stand up. I got a broken rib. All right, well, I'll let you slide into your rib heels, and then you can fix the fence.
Here's an email entitled, Small Town Bottle Rocket Wars. Our most epic rocket battle was held at the city lake in 1981. We had plastic tubes to shoulder fire the bottle rockets. The most severe casualty was Dwayne Teffertiller, who caught one in the mouth, resulting in a massively swollen, complete lip, complete with gum bleeding. Dwayne can hang, though, as he later served in the U.S. Army, and even better, raised a son, Seth, who went to Iraq with the 55th Marines? Double dog? What does that mean? Oh, 5th Marines. He double type 5. See? That's what when you can take a bottle shot, right? Or you get hit by a car, and and you start crying and apologize because you got hit by the car. That's how you know you have, like, a quality human being.
Right.
You got something to work with, right? But parents, like, parents suffered no bullshit, man. Like, we would throw, there was a field. I moved into this, like, upper middle class neighborhood after my dad got to the big leagues. And so there's one main thoroughfare, and then there's houses that weren't, or lots that weren't building in. And after the rains, like we've had out here now, like, all the weeds grow high. So you could grab, like, these tall weeds and pull them out, and they'd have a lot of dirt on them, and you could throw those things, right? So we would hide, like, in the field, and we would volley fire on a car. Here it comes, right?
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden you
hear, use the Whistler body cast, so I like the Whistlers.
All of a sudden you'd hear wham, and then somebody would hit the brakes, and it would be some like World War II veteran, right? So it's 1970. So let's just say he's 20 in 1945. So now, right, his PTSD is kicking in because some kid's just like volley fired his like new Impala, and now he's like coming in the field looking for us, and we're like, running.
Roman candle wars. We did Roman candle wars.
Roman
too.
Candles, man. Those are dangerous. Bottle rockets, not so much.
Yeah. Whistlers. I love those things.
That's funny. But nothing, you know, when you think about the shit you did as a kid and then when it went wrong, and it got really.
Oh, if I was a kid today, they'd lock me up. Because I would fit the criteria of like a serial killer.
Right. But it got absolutely hilarious when it went wrong, right?
It was funny.
And you were not going to tell your parents because, like I said, just said, your parents were not about understanding what happened, right?
No, they're about laying blame.
Yeah, and then you were going to get...
They wanted a sacrificial lamb.
And somebody's going to take off a belt and some shit was going to happen. And none of it was going
to
be...
To pick your switch.
So,
worst psychology you can do to a child, go pick your switch. Do I want a thick one, little one? If I get a little one, he's going to beat me 100 times. If I get a thick one, maybe it's one or twice. Is he going to hit me hard with it? Is he going to hit me soft? I mean, it's just the actually picking your own demise, your tool of your own demise is like the worst thing you could do to a child.
And that's the way you disciplined your kids, right? Yeah. And you know what? And it worked. Because you know what? We all knew when, you know, my mom, you would have to go out to the garage, and she had these garden stakes that were probably about 2 or 3 feet long, and she'd say, go get a garden stake. And so you'd like, it's like Mike's talking about, the death walk. You go out and you grab the instrument that you're going to get beat with, and then you bring it back. But you knew that you deserved it. Like, I deserve this.
Yeah.
I deserve it not only for what they caught me doing, but for a whole bunch of things that they haven't caught me
that
doing.
They never did caught me. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I agree. Yeah, or it was like always the belt. You want the belt or the hand? I'll take the hand.
Yeah, the belt. Never the belt.
Never.
Never.
The belt was like it was taking flesh off.
That was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the belt one time. I don't know what I did, but it was something creative.
I got the belt quick once because I'll never forget that. My mom went to smack me, and I snapped her hand out of the air. Ooh. Don't ever do that.
I didn't do that till I was like...
Before I could even... That was like a quick motion, like a superhero. Dad, like... that thing coming out. And then full extension at that last... Like, before I could even move. You know, like, one... If you could just picture in your mind, like, looking, those eyes bugging out, and then two hands unbuckle... Want the right hand just taking it, going, whoosh, and then coming out of the belt loops, and then full extension, whoosh, strike in the target, all in one motion, like, whoosh, oh, jeez, ah, oh,
sweet Jesus.
And then if you swore, you got it again. Whoosh, ah,
you know? Yeah, there was no, and they didn't feel, are you happy? Do you think this makes me happy to do this? Well, I don't know, you do it often enough, I assume it does, like somebody. This pleases somebody, and it sure as hell ain't me. The last time she slapped me, she slapped me right across the face. I think I was probably 16, and she brought it from like her hip. So it's not like she just gave me like a little flick across the face. Like she has her arm up, and she like, psh. She brought it.
She was swinging it out of the park.
Yeah, she brought it like the 198. She brought it, and from down by her right hip. And I said something. I was, you know, Mike and I are both smart asses, right? And so at the age of 16, I probably didn't exercise the appropriate level of judgment I should have. And out in the back, out on the in our backyard on the deck, just outside the sliding door, she asked me a question. I said something. Kaboosh. She gives it to me. And my head like goes, Psh! And I just looked at her and I said, was that supposed to hurt? My mom, her face started turning red at the neck, right?
And she, yeah, you don't know when to shut up.
She just looked at me, and if she'd had a gun, she'd have shot me right there. She stormed into the house, and then ultimately when I went into my house, my sisters had watched the whole thing, right? And so right. I walked in, and they're like, how could you do that to mom? I said, what? I'm like,
the other thing you could do
wrong.
How
could you say that to her? I'm like,
cause. Was just before that second, that whatever instrument hit your ass, you would do the fake cry and whelp.
Never worked. And then, yeah, go ahead and stick.
Oh, and then they missed. You know, like they missed and you do the, oh, oh. And they're like, They're like looking at you like, I didn't even hit you yet.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to hit you. Like, oh, you didn't? That was fake. You know, like, you didn't buy that? Okay.
Because they would have you, if they don't, when you're little, you would go over the knee, right? And so you'd be immobilized, and you'd try to get a hand back there, right? And then they'd get your wrist, or they get your hand. And
if you're standing, you're moving. You could throw your hips up forward. Thrust your hips out, like ooh.
Like you're doing the hula. And they've got you by the hand, and they've got the implement in the other hand, and you're doing the dance of death, hoping that you could ward off enough of these blows that this thing's not gonna I can marginalize this. And then they're getting pissed. Oh, really?
Yeah. All right, man. I gotta run. I got people at the door.
Good luck in the garage. See ya.
Yeah, I'll send you a picture when I paint. Oh,
come on, are you kidding me?
I'll talk to you this weekend.
I've got a whole collage.
All right.
You know, it wasn't that bad. Come on. It was actually kind of fun. Like I said, you knew you deserved it for all the time, that the stuff that you did that they didn't catch you for. Yeah, there you have it. All right, that'll do it on a Friday. Happy birthday to Peyton Davis. Yeah. So, if you're just joining us, we've been celebrating Peyton's birthday all day. F-18 man said, hey, the girl who's singing this song about small town America, it's her birthday today. I said, no kidding. So anyway, in the first hour, you're going to hear, we'll talk about that a little bit. And then you're going to hear a series of versions of the national anthem from people who recorded them and sent them in. And some from years ago. And you're going to hear about that. Pretty cool. Talk a little bit about Marilyn Monroe and her version of Happy Birthday, which is my favorite version. In the second hour, we talk to the chef. He tells us about some sugar that he uses. You can use it in baking as a substitute for sugar that he says tastes good. So you'll hear about that. And in the third hour, Mike and I we roll down small town Minnesota road. On Monday, you're going to meet somebody who Alex Hollings introduced me to here. And she is a Army of the United States Army Green Beret. She's the spouse of one of those kind of guys. And her name is Lee Tuttle. And she's involved in this fight for the DOD to pay attention to the housing conditions that soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines and their families are living in around the world. To pay attention. And again, the worst part of all of this is there's a theme that goes back decades of neglect on part of the Department of Defense. And it starts with all these contaminated sites that people are living in. And then, you know, the big mea culpa yesterday Anybody who had anything to do with this housing stuff should be fired. Because there's no reason in the world it should have taken these women to do what they did, which is go on TV to get the problems remedied. Because as you'll see as this thing unfolds, the problems are ridiculous. So you're going to meet her on Monday. Have a great weekend. Happy birthday to Peyton Davis. On a Friday, All Marine Radio, over and...